Here we go. Let's see. The Big Book Awakening UK teleconference meeting is open to all 12-step programs from anywhere in the world. The Big Book Awakening process supports us to practice the precise directions in the Big Book of AA as a means of deepening our recovery. To keep the meeting focused, we kindly ask that only those who are working the Big Book Awakening process and are currently sober from their physical craving share their experience in the first part of the meeting. All are welcome to listen, and anyone can pose a question or share in the third part of the meeting starting at 7:50. This meeting runs from 7 to 8:15 GMT. Our meeting focuses on the precise directions of working the steps as prescribed described in the first 103 pages of the Big Book, using the Big Book Awakening Guide. Our meeting is set up in three parts. Part one, we begin by having a speaker share for 20 minutes. Part two, at 7:30, we open the meeting up for general sharing and comments for 20 minutes. Again, kindly asking those who are actually working the BBA process to share at this time, staying on topic. And part three, at 10 to 8, we have a crossfire meeting for 20 minutes. This is when anyone can ask a question or comment on anyone's share. A reminder to stay on topic at all times. Let's see. If you can't stay until 8:15, no problem. Please just feel free to go sign off as quietly as you can. Before we continue the meeting, please be sure that your line is muted by pressing the mute icon on your screen or phone, especially if you unmute any time during the meeting. If you dialed in by phone, please be sure your network provider does not charge for this type of call, or dial back in using the internet. Now it is my pleasure to introduce Natan, who will speak on the topic of the circle and the triangle as we start to read the Big Book all over again. Natan, you have 20 minutes to speak. Would you like me to give you a 5-minute heads up or any other time breaks?
Yeah, 5 minutes heads up would be good.
5 minutes. And Natan, we're going to ask you to speak up really loudly because you're quite faint there.
If you can't hear me too well, just tell me to speak up. I may forget.
Okay, little bit louder if you don't mind.
Just a minute. Is that better?
That is much better.
Okay. If I fade, just remind me.
I will. Thank you. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Thanks. Yeah, thanks for giving me this opportunity. My name is Natan. I'm obsessive compulsive around many things, especially around food. And I'm very grateful to be able to talk. And I'm grateful for being introduced to this way of working the steps. For me, I find it much more effective. Asked to speak about the cover page, the circle and the triangle. I wasn't sure what I was going to say. I'm grateful that I was asked because it reminds me that I need to review the traditions and the concepts more. I'm a bit of a stickler, and I always used to ask, okay, the circle and the triangle were only adopted in 1955. And furthermore, the traditions, I think in 1946 were only written and then adopted also in 1955 officially. And the concepts, I think in 1962, the long form was written up and the short form was only written up or accepted in 1972 or 73. So, my question has been, what's the legitimacy of this? And I was reading something from, it's AA approved literature, Dr. Bob and the good old timers. And it wrote there that something to the effect that Dr. Bob said that the first group that was in Ohio, Akron, Ohio, must have discovered the 12 steps, even though they didn't call it that because they were getting sober. And for me, it's important to remember that this is a program of principles that just didn't come into existence when the book was written, but they're actually principles that are age old or ancient, and that people have been living by them, maybe not in this exact form. And for me, that's much more powerful, rather than just think that it's a fad that's come and it's only been the last, less than 100 years. But this in this form, yeah, but this idea that the principles were around and the steps existed, like Dr. Bob said, even before they were written down. And so it's the same thing with the other principles, because we have the 12 steps, but that's recovery. But in terms of the unity of a group, the 12 traditions, which I think for me, I look at them, the basis being the 12 steps, because if I don't have that, then I can't even think about applying the 12 traditions. But that keeps the group unified. And then if you think of groups working with groups, that's the 12 concepts. And I always look for the principles in each step or tradition or concept. I'm trying to, I'll try to relate to my own experience, but for me, it helps have, for me, you know, I look at the circle and triangle, probably should look at it more, but it's sort of like a map, or I've also heard it referred to as a yardstick. I think it's sort of also like a mandala, and it's something that helps me or reminds me of the greater perspective, and whether I'm abiding by that or not. I think also the idea of a circle is there's an idea of wholeness, and the idea that I'm within the whole and the whole is within me. And it helps me stay connected to a bigger picture. And this idea of, you know, always asking myself, or from time to time at least, where am I in the circle, in terms of my own recovery, am I working the steps, continuing to work them, where am I in terms of being in a fellowship? Because my experience is that I wasn't able to work the steps consistently without a fellowship, without fellows to, when I'm down, then someone else is up, and vice versa. And so that's been, I think, you know, God works through, God's power is more evident in a fellowship of like-minded people, but also diverse people. And then I guess where I'm weaker is being the greater sense of service. Yeah, it goes without saying, if I'm not working with other people who have my problem with food, especially with obsessive compulsiveness, then I'm not going to grow, and I won't. Because, you know, that's given me so much strength. But where I haven't developed as much as in terms of a wider fellowships of fellowships. And I think the 12 concepts address that. How do you have many fellowships working together? Also, I think it's very important to remember the concept. So my understanding, Bill W. was influenced, not in a small part, by Carl Jung. And Carl Jung, he really emphasized power of mandalas. And also, I've not seen it written, but I think there's probably that connection The idea of triad and a quaternity. So oftentimes, I notice in the big book, you have a set of three, and then the fourth thing encapsulates the other three. So like on page 83, it talks about in the morning, cleaning house with the family.
Can you speak up just a little bit, please?
Yep. Actually, maybe I should try. I know I don't have my earphones with me. I'll try it if I find them. So it talks about in the morning, cleaning house with the family. So we clean house with the family, asking each morning in meditation that our Creator shows a way of patience, tolerance, kindliness, and love. So patience, tolerance, kindliness is a triad, and the love is the quaternity, is the fourth, which encapsulate, which the first three are an expression of the last one. And so too, if you look at the triangle, there's a triad there, but some people talk about a dot. That's the fourth aspect, which is gives this stability when they're all united. And there are a few other examples I've seen in the book. Sensible, tactful, considerate, and humble. So sensible, tactful, considerate are all aspects of humility, of being humble. Why am I talking about this? That's the threefold aspect of the disease, that body, mind, and spirit. And very important to remind of that. But also, I like to remind myself that the solution, which is awareness, consciousness of higher power, of God. God is just as much in my body as he is in the spirit and the mind. And basically, I like to look at them as just the same reality, just different aspects of it. Also, what I've discovered, so this is a great map. It's a great way to remind myself of things. But I think another aspect is this idea of inter-inclusion. So, especially because I know, I'll be honest, my knowledge of the 12 concepts is probably the weakest. I know the 12 traditions much better. And of course, 12 steps I've studied even more in depth. But the 12 concepts, I think if they first came out in 1962, they were about more than 73 pages. And only in 1972 or 73 did they come up with a shortened form. So I don't know as much about them as I do the tradition. Maybe it's a good opportunity to start looking into them more. But nonetheless, this idea of it being the spirit, the service, that I think they're all inter-included. So for instance, like in tradition 7, regarding financial accountability, I can apply that, for instance, that principle, it can be applied to carrying the message or helping others. In chapter 12, it talks about whether, not a question of whether to give or not, but how and when. And this, is it going to the giving of money? Is it going to weaken a person, or is it going to help them get back on their feet or not? And that's a principle that it's come up in tradition 7, but I can apply it just as much, and also to myself in caring, practicing the principles in all of my affairs. whether also not just with money, but also in terms of modern medicine. I think it's page 133, talks about modern miracles of health. I don't know exact wording. But then on that, it's on the one hand, but when there's a spiritual malady is straightened out, then we straighten out physically, mentally and physically. However, it seems like a contradiction, but it's not. It's actually a paradox that nonetheless, we go to medical practitioners of various kinds. So the question is how, whether it be, you know, same thing with money. Is this going to help me come closer, develop a closer connection with God, or is it going to make me more dependent on others instead of being able to better help others? So that's an example, and the circle reminds me of that inter-inclusion.
Who's it?
Is that, I think that's about
5 more
minutes, isn't it?
5 more minutes.
5 more minutes?
Yeah, if you want.
Okay, I think, no, I think I'm going to leave it there. It's, like I said, you know, it's a very good, the idea of a map, or it's something that helps contextualize. So I can over particularize things, and just looking at the title page puts things in context. For me, that's what's helpful. And to just remember the triads, you know, of body, mind, and spirit, recover unity and service. And yeah, just every so often take a look and see where I am in that. Thank you.
Thank you, Natan.
It's a bit technical.
No, it's all good. Thank you so much. It's now time for general sharing. Anyone who has worked the Big Book Awakening approach up to this step, well, up to the first page, can share at this time. Please stay on the topic of the circle and the triangle. We'll have, I think we're okay for 3-minute shares. Please time yourself and cut yourself off at 3 minutes. Otherwise, I'll signal to you to wrap up in the next 10 seconds. After this time, we'll have to open crossfire for those who have not yet worked the BBA approach. So we are on the topic of the circle and triangle, the title page of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Who would care to share first?
Hi, it's Tracy.
Hey, go ahead, Tracy.
Hi, Natan, thank you so much. It's lovely to hear your voice. And it is a really fascinating subject. The symbolism and the circle and the triangle. And I remember one of my first ever meetings, not knowing anything about it, and having worked through the steps once, and now currently working step two and the willingness, I find myself so willing this time to just open up and receive this wonderful knowledge. I loved what you said about I'm within the whole and the whole is within me, and I find that sort of thinking really inspiring, to think about the various parts of the disease, the spiritual, the mental, the physical, which they all feed off each other. If I'm in a physical craving, it means I'm not in fit spiritual condition. If I am having, you know, mental thoughts that are obsessive and unhelpful, self-hating, then it in turn, it affects everything. And it's lovely to have a symbol of it. And I was listening and I was drawing circles and triangles. And then I didn't realize, I was fiddling with a stone. Someone gave me a chakra stone today. And it's the throat chakra. It was like an encouraging, sweet little present. And I flipped it over and looked at it, and blow me sideways, if it isn't a circle and a triangle, covered with something decorative. I mean, I had no idea that was like a chakra symbol as well. But anyway, it's just like one of those little sweet little things of making me feel like I'm really supposed to listen, and I'm really grateful to be here and be on the program, be reminded about the triad of the disease and the triad of the solution. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thanks, Tracy. Who else would like to share? To share, just simply unmute by clicking on your mute icon or your little speaker icon.
Judith, this is Amy.
Hi, Amy. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Amy, alcoholic compulsive eater. Thanks, Natan, so much for your share. That was lovely. And there was some, I never thought about the triad and the quad. I forget what the other word was. Something about it encompassed the first three. And it's just it's a lovely way to look at it. And I think actually the big book does a lot of that, even just I really got what you meant around that. And I mean, I think for me that I always think of the circle and the triangle as having to do with that three-legged stool, you know, that I have a disease that affects, like you spoke about, body, mind, and spirit, and that I have to address all three sides of those to be in balance. And so the body, it goes to the fellowship, the mind to the 12 steps in the recovery, and this recovered spirit is when I take people through the work. And and it's funny because sometimes when I do get out of whack in one of those areas, and it does tend to bring up the bedevilment when I'm not doing something. I mean, they really are, I think, of equal importance, because for a long time I thought just, you know, like working the BVA steps was the end all be all. And but yet, you know, taking somebody else through is just deepens my experience and reinforces it, you know, beyond what I can do on my own, even, you know, being taken through it with a step guide. And, you know, it makes me so keen to be taking people through, because I mean, I hope they're getting something out of it, but I definitely am. And it definitely helps to balance that stool so that I'm not just trying to sit on two legs. And, you know, because I do love doing the step work here. I think it's just an amazingly powerful way to look at the 12 steps. And, I mean, I think for me, my stool is, my leg's probably shortest or weakest in the fellowship, and that's why I'm so grateful for this meeting, you know, that we do manage to make this happen, you know, I can get to know all of you and hear your experiences. And again, I just want to put in a plug for people here in the UK volunteering, like Natan did, to take a lead, to give us your experience, because it's marvelous. Everybody has something to bring. And I know sometimes I get, you know, sort of the big wigs, you could call it, you know, people from the BBA in San Diego that have been doing it for ages. But I think it's equally important that we build this fellowship here in the United Kingdom, and that it be, or you know, people who are in alternative time zones, so to speak. And because it is a key part of it. And I find that when all three of those bits are in place, and then the wholeness happens and the connection, you know,